So what I want to do is just read through about half of Revelation 14, and then we will talk about these questions, go ahead and answer them, and then next week we'll, Lord willing, finish up 14. Revelation 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, but they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth his mark and receiveth the mark of his name. So that's where we'll stop reading for today, or tonight here. And I guess I should have one of these papers so I'll know where I'm at here. So we'll go ahead and go through this, and then I'm going to give you some questions to do at home. A couple things to do at home. In verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ is standing with 144,000, and they have his Father's name written in foreheads. Now remember, right now we're in the Father's hand. No man can pluck us out. So we're the hands of God on this earth. We're supposed to be doing the work of God on this earth, the church. So the devil's going to have his people marked either in their hand or their forehead, right? And that hand represents the work of somebody. If it's the devil, it's the work of the devil. But God's got his sealed in their forehead, which leads me to believe that they just have the mind of Christ. Now, an interesting thing about this group of 144,000. Well, let's go ahead and do 2 and 3 first. The 144,000 were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. And then number 3, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne. So these 144,000, we've talked about this before, how could they be 144,000 male Jewish virgins that have no guile and are without fault? Remember we talked about there's a very good possibility that these are the children, the babies that were killed by Herod at the time of Christ. Now here's what I believe pretty much solidifies that. Now you don't have to believe that. I'm not saying this is 100% doctrine, but it's about 99%. If you look what it says in verse number 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So when we talk about the first resurrection, the first resurrection is in three parts. The first resurrection is not complete yet. The first resurrection is going to be complete when the church leaves, right? So we've got, anytime you have a harvest, that's what he talks about, the fields are white to harvest. When you have a harvest, you have the early part of the harvest, which are the first fruits, the main part of the harvest, which is called the harvest, and then you have the gleanings. So I believe that there'll probably be some gleanings going on into the tribulation time. But what we're looking at first fruits, it says Christ the first fruits. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. It says Christ the first fruits with an S when it's talking about Christ. Remember when he come back out of the grave, when it said many of the Old Testament saints come out of the grave. So what I believe is these 144,000, we know according to the Word of God, they're 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So I believe there were of each of the tribes of Israel when Herod went up the coast, which they were lined along up the coast, the 12 tribes, and killed the male babies trying to get rid of Jesus Christ. The devil did that. And every time the devil does something, no matter how tragic it is on this earth, the God uses it for his own good. So now he's got these 144,000 babies that are now classified as male Jewish virgins here of 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel that are marked in his forehead doing his work against the devil. So these people that the devil took out trying to get rid of Christ are going to be against him in the tribulation. I'm telling you, God's just so far ahead of the devil, it's just ridiculous. So that right there, I believe, shows. I mean, I would almost say that that's almost a Bible doctrine at this point. How else could it be? I'm waiting for somebody to give me another explanation. If there's another explanation, I'll change my view on it. But it sure looks like that's it. And I hate to tell you 100%, but I'm going to tell you, I'm about 99.9% on this. Because I don't know how it makes sense any other way. It really doesn't, to me, make sense any other way. And God put the specifics in here for a reason. And since that says first fruits, I believe that that's the case. Another thing I want to talk about, and have you guys, I want you guys to find me a couple of examples of proofs in the Bible besides Revelation 14. Remember, there's two chapters in Revelation that point to these 144,000. So beside Revelation 14, find me two places in the Bible that shows God's not through with Israel. That shouldn't be too difficult. Yeah, but not Revelation 14. Beside this chapter. Outside of this one. So, you know, there's tons of stuff in the Old Testament. We've talked specifically about a chapter in Romans. So there's going to be something in Romans. Don't say it out loud. Just bring it to church next Wednesday. No, don't say them now, but write it down. Two different places in the Bible that show God's not through with Israel. Outside of Revelation 14. Remember, there's two easy ones, finding out where else it talks about the 144,000 in Revelation. And it's more specific when it's talking about Israel in the other part of Revelation. So that, and then we get to number four here. And number four, in verse 6, an angel is preaching the everlasting gospel. Now, we're going to see in 7 that the everlasting gospel is different than the church age gospel, but let's go ahead and look at that in number 5. Verse 7 shows us the gospel in verse 6 is different than the church age that was given to Paul, the church age. Everlasting gospel is different than the church age gospel. So it's just good news. I mean, some people say the gospel is always the same. No, there's good news. And the good news in, you know what the good news was in Genesis chapter 3 and 4 and 5, back in there? That God was willing to find a sacrifice for Adam and Eve to cover their sin. He did it with an animal. That was good news. It wasn't build an ark. It wasn't trust Jesus Christ. It wasn't fear God and keep his commandments. It wasn't any of that. But the good news in Noah's day was, hey, build an ark. You found grace in my sight. It was good news. The good news in the church age is just believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, trust his blood atonement, and you're going to heaven because of him. And then he's preaching an everlasting gospel here that through these this angel. So the everlasting gospel is a different gospel. Now Paul said, if any angel, any man or any angel preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. But Paul was talking about the church age. There are people preaching a bunch of different gospels today. They're teaching the gospel of works, the gospel of salvation through baptism, water baptism, and all kinds of stuff. Now, we know the gospel is trust in the blood of Christ and death, burial, and resurrection. So the next thing I want you to find is under number five, right, where do you find the true gospel in the New Testament? Paul tells you what it is. Not this Paul. The other brother Paul. So where is the new the gospel of the church age clearly found in the New Testament? I mean, it defines what the gospel is. Where is the gospel defined specifically in the New Testament? Sorry, I'm coming up with these questions on the fly. I didn't really have the extra questions to come up with yet. I just figured when I was reading through here, I'd come up with some. I'm just making it up as I go along. Where do you find the gospel specifically defined in the New Testament? It tells us it's the death, the burial, and resurrection. Where is that? You can cheat off Bill's paper, but you'd be wrong. Because he already told me he couldn't see his paper. Now in number 6, verse 8 says that blank is fallen, and that is that Babylon is fallen, and it is that great city. We're going to talk about that just a little bit, and here's the reason why I want to talk about that just a little bit, is because we can talk a lot about that. We don't want to, because we can go down some real crazy rabbit holes with this too, but there is a spiritual Babylon. He says that city which is spiritual Babylon and Sodom is talking about Jerusalem at one time. Jesus Christ calls that spiritually Babylon and Sodom, Jerusalem, about how messed up it is before he comes back and straightens it out. But this says it's not a spiritual, it says that great city. It's a city that actually exists. I personally believe it's Rome. I personally believe that. You don't have to believe that. You can believe that Saddam Hussein is going to be resurrected and they're going to finish Babylon over there or whatever, but I don't think so. I think it's been replaced with Rome. And I think there's so much stuff over there that nobody realizes is even going on under the city, around the city, and through the city. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And if you look at what it says in the Bible here, verse 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now this is definitely possible for Rome, because Rome has tainted everything with its religion. That's when God's talking about fornication. When he's talking about spiritual fornication, he's talking about religious problems. The reason he divorced Israel is because of their fornicating spirit and their fornicating heart. They were going after the heathen's gods, right? They were going after the Babylonian gods, all these different gods. So what he's talking about here, and even when you get over into Proverbs, where Solomon's warning about the flattering words of the strange woman, talk about her feet lead down to hell. Now, I mean, you can spiritually apply that to physical people too, because God does allow the devil to use women to destroy men to destroy women, all that stuff. But he's talking about also a religious system, that woman. And what does Rome call itself? Mother Church, right? Guess what they have? Talking about drinking of the wrath of the cup of God's wrath. They've got that golden cup. That's part of their symbology, part of their symbology, or symbolism, if you will. I got too many Latin and goofy words from school in my head, so I can start mixing stuff together and George Bush and them every once in a while. But so the symbolism, and of course we could go on and on about the upside down crosses and their mitre, their fish hat, and all that stuff. But you know, they're actually just mimicking Old Testament Israel. They believe they replaced Israel too, by the way. I don't think the powers in charge actually believe that. I think that's what they try to push, but I think they pretty much know what's going on over there, the ones in charge. So Babylon is fallen, and it's a great city. It's not just talking about a spiritual city right now. It's talking about that great city. It's talking about a place of religious fornication where it's spread out all over the place. And that's the reason I know I've had people, you know, probably born again, love the Lord and all that, but they really don't believe there's an issue with the Bible. Any Bible do. I'm going to tell you, that Bible version thing started with Rome. That's where it come from. That's where the Jerome's Latin Vulgate, go down through Vaticanus and Ioannicus, Westcott and Hort, all that stuff come down through perverted changes from, that come down through Rome and through Egypt. Egypt through Rome. So that's a picture of it right there. Every church that you can think of, right, if you can think of a church right now that used to be solid and now they're not, you can blame Rome. Because they've seeded all this baloney out there, all this ecumenical stuff. How do you think these people, the Southern Baptists, got wiped out? Rome. They started leaving their doctrine and going toward Romish beliefs, Romish doctrine. I mean, the devil will be able to use them because of their pride. It's what he used anybody because of their pride if we're not careful. You look at the Methodists, the Lutherans, the whatever church you want to list and say they used to be pretty solid, and now they've totally fell apart. It can all be traced back to Rome. So I believe that city's Rome. Do you have something else to add to that? Talk about the true Babylon? Well, when it's talking about, let's find it here. Here's the thing. If you read what it says in 17 and really read it the way it's written, and upon her forehead was a name written, it's talking about that great whore, and it says mystery, Babylon the Great. So it's a mystery, and it's Babylon the Great. It's a spiritual religious system. It's pointing back to that great whore, which is calls itself Mother Church. And I'm not defending the Baptists that think they're the only ones going to heaven and all that crazy stuff too, or the briders that think only their church is the bride. But that's where it come from. That thought process come from, let's give the glory to a church name instead of giving it to Jesus Christ. Constantine. Yeah. Been programmed to believe.
Yeah.
See, that's what I've had people say. Well, you guys, you're a cult. You Bible believers are a cult. You're in there brainwashing people. That's what church is supposed to be for. Your brain's filthy with garbage and programming from the devil. You're supposed to be getting it cleaned out by the washing of water by the word. So the devil doesn't want the word, so they get rid of the word. You just go in and you do the same thing in church as you do outside of church most places. You want to have a rock concert and have a good time? Come as you are, leave as you were, forget it. But you're supposed to be more like Jesus Christ through the preaching of the Word of God, through the teaching of the Word of God, through studying the Word of God. And that's the King James Bible is the only English Bible there is that says to study it. Why would they take that out? Because if you study it, you'll know whether I'm telling you the truth or not. Who doesn't want you to study the Bible? First, it was Rome. Now it's everybody. I mean, I got Baptist preachers tell me I'm an idiot because you believe that stupid King James Bible. Well, you know, we got that these and those and that. So what? Yours has got the devil all over it. You know, so I study mine and you go ahead and do your good housekeeping thing. We'll see what happens. Judgment seat of Christ, we'll see how it pans out. I got enough of my own problems. Don't need yours.